Hey everyone, today's episode is from the panel I moderated last week at the NFL 2021 draft in Cleveland, Ohio. I was joined by a wonderful group of people at the Female Quotients Equality Lounge to discuss recreation and education for underserved youth and the importance of mentorship at a young age. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite part of today's episode and check the show notes to see how you can text me or email me at any time.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Good morning. I'm Dave Meltzer, co-founder of Sports One Marketing with the Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, and here to talk about something that's really important to me personally and in my career, paying it forward, number one, but more importantly, how to intertwine education and recreation for our underserved youth. And I think, you know, if we're not investing in our future by investing in our youth, we're making a huge mistake. We can spend trillions of dollars all over the place, but this is where I think our money should be spent. So I'd like to start off, I'll start with Roman. Let's go around and just introduce ourselves. And I'd like, when you introduce yourself as well, to tell why it's important for you to be here and what impact you want to have.
So good morning, everyone. My name is Roman Obin. I'm currently the VP of Football Development at the National Football League. I'm a former player as well. I played in the league for 12 years as an offensive lineman, 2 years in Cleveland with the Browns. Definitely love my time here. And the work that we do involves the future of the game. And obviously from a football standpoint, we could, you know, I have to be selfishly appropriate about wanting kids to play football. But it's important because there's a big, the gap is increasing in terms of the disparities. The wealth gap, obviously, but that also affects discretionary income, the ability to play, the ability to participate in sports. And so I think I'm always excited to kind of have these discussions with professionals such as those on the panel to talk about some of these issues.
I'm Josh Cribbs, 10 years in the NFL. I'm on a TV show co-host with my wife, Cribbs in the CLE here in Cleveland. And that's such a joy for me at this point in my life after my NFL career. But I am here because of the ground level of keeping kids and young athletes excited about recreation and their development as it relates to when those sports and when the funding stops and there's not an avenue, you know, certain kids, depending on technology, they get disinterested in playing sports and in youth sports. So I feel like it's a duty for me to, on the ground level, allow these the young athletes to understand how important it is for their development, not just for playing sports, but to me, sports is a way of life. It builds discipline and good habits. And I've been brought up through that. And to have things afforded to me as a young child and athlete that certain children in certain neighborhoods don't necessarily get now, it's a travesty. And even the little things as getting, you know, bus rides to games and uniforms and having to raise money just to play a sport and have a league and have that outlet. So for me, it's the ground level. When guys like, you know, he said he played in 2 years and for the Cleveland Browns. When my guy comes and has programs, when we have panels like this, you know, I like to be the one that on the ground level that they send in. I got this, program that we can start. And okay, where do I go? You know, like Juan and them. And so it's important for recreational sports to hit that stride even now.
Good morning. My name is Juan Goodwin, lifelong Clevelander. I'm the president of Lifeline Sports. And the reason I'm here is we always do sports clinics and everything, but we created a program called When the Ball Stops. You can't play forever, so we want to highlight careers in sports around the game and how you can stay connected. And like Josh said, whenever I call, he's always the first guy to come, roll his sleeves up, no camera. So I appreciate you guys having me here and just look forward to the conversation.
Thank you, Juan. Shakira.
Hi, my name is Shakira Johnson. I'm the Chief Revenue Officer for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Northeast Ohio. And my job is to really impact kids just all across Northeast Ohio. Man, I have the opportunity to just inform people all across the region on how they can help kids reach their full potential. And what I get most excited about is I can tell them how to invest in the kids across Northeast Ohio, especially kids in the underserved areas, because the resources are needed. When I think about just the Boys and Girls Clubs, we have different pillars. And this conversation really excites me because healthy lifestyles is one of those pillars. So when you think about sports and exercise and eating right, we as an after-school program impact kids every single day. And I can tell you, if by the end of this conversation, if we could get everybody excited to want to give me a call, let's talk about it.
That's awesome, and it's hard to follow that. I'm David Moreno. I'm an attorney, also a sports agent, and you know this conversation is uber important to me. I didn't play in the NFL, but I did play college sports, and I did play sports throughout high school, and I feel like the structure and the social skills that you develop and communicating with folks from all walks of life. You know, I had teammates from different countries, teammates that grew up, you know, in one room, you know, huts in different countries, and some teammates that were uber wealthy, but we all came together for one common goal. And learning how to socialize with folks from different walks of life is really important. Obviously, the health benefits of it. But for me, it's really, you know, making sure that we continue to promote the youth, you know, learning those very, very vital skills that, and I'm sure you two played in the league. The things that you learn in the league that you do every day, right? And it's just ingrained in your DNA now at this point that you didn't even realize where you were getting those skills. As a 10-year-old kid, you realize that accountability, commitment, and you still translate those things to this day. So for me, this conversation hits home, and I want to be an example that playing sports is awesome, and it's going to stop at some point, like Juan said, but you got to figure out how to use those skills and translate them to the next part of your life.
Well, as you can see, there's an impressive group of people up here with great situational knowledge. You know, looking at recreation and education in general, I think about all the experiences I had. And Josh, I was an average Division III football player. And according to my potential, that's the greatest achievement I've ever done. So I talk about enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, which is one of the things that I learned from playing sports. Number one, health is obvious, but all the things I've experienced from graduate school to college, all the things I've experienced, they all have a negative aspect. But I was born in Akron, Ohio, six kids, single mom, five boys and a girl. I still to this day can't think of one negative thing about putting my child into some sort of recreational sport. The things they'll learn, like, think about all the things I could tell you about law school, why not to go, right? But I can't tell a kid who enjoys whatever sport it is, you know, even over esports, which is, you know, part of our lifestyle, there's a lot of negative things about gaming. But there's not one negative thing about putting your kid outside in an individual or team environment to do their best, to have fun, and to learn something. So I'd love, you know, we'll reverse it back this way. Love to start with you, David. Why don't you share what you either have learned or you like to learn in all of those aspects of doing your best, having fun, and learning something, which I think those three aspects will take you to the top if you truly do that in everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think with children, sports, children love to feel approval, right? And they love to feel accepted. And things that have stood out for me just, you know, as a mentor is meeting some kids that have had trouble, you know, socializing. And then they find out that they're the fastest kid. And now their confidence is just through the roof. And that translates to the classroom. That translates to their social skills. So for me, it's an inclusive environment, which is what always attracted me to sport, right? If you can play, it doesn't matter who you are, how rich you are. And frankly, depending on the level, it doesn't matter if you can play, if you're talented. If you're out there putting in effort, people are going to respect you.
Love it. Shakira.
Man, it's really simple. I mean, if you take it back to just, you know, working people. I mean, one of the big things is when you work, you want to make sure you balance it. It's work-life balance. So you think about a kid. Man, they need that about 10 times more than what we do. Man, to be able to, I mean, just thinking about Boys and Girls Club, I mean, after school programming, you've been in education all day in the classroom, learning math, but now you get to come and you get to just relieve some stress. You get to relieve some anxiety. You've been in the classroom all day, and now you just get to go compete in a tournament or just play some ping pong. And I mean, all of those things are just so important, and you have to have that. And it teaches you so many different skills that you need, whether it's just, like you said, socializing with other youth, whether it's how to win, but actually how to lose as well. Like, all of those things go together and are really steps to what you need in life just across the board.
I'll just be real, Frank. Everything in my life, I could trace back to sports. Like, all my friends, my first job I ever got, my wife, everything, I could trace it back to a teammate, a coach, a practice field. Even when the seasons change, because I play basketball. So when it goes from summer to fall, my body still started jonesing, like, it's time to get ready for the season. So you start missing that stuff. So everything, I can trace it back to sports. So it's really important. It's a way of life for me and how I run business. It's a team aspect. So I can go all the way back to sports for anything.
Kids want to have fun. And sports allows them to have fun at every level. And we talk about the social aspect. We talk about them having friends, and Roman can attest to this. Like, when you have athletes come out to meet the kids, they're having fun. They're inspired. They're getting confidence, and they want to feel like they're a part of something greater than themselves. I know as a kid, I used to hate when I did something wrong and get grounded. I can't go outside and play sports. Or my parents would threaten, like, oh, if you do this, you won't be able to go play on that game. And I'm like, oh, I want to play the game. And it's changing now. So we have to find those ways to make outside sports fun like they used to be. Because like Juan said, everything that happened good for him revolved around it. And we are eliminating a special aspect that children need in their development. And we keep talking about the social aspect, but friends, confidence, all of that gained through sports. And like Juan, you know, I was able to, you know, experience so much of life, met my wife because I got a scholarship to college to play sports, and so many friends. I got to see almost the whole country. If I didn't play a sport, you know, I wouldn't have traveled to see different states, because in a lot of inner cities, you don't go anywhere. Your parents probably working around the clock, and your vacation doesn't consist of leaving that state. So these things are all inclusive, you know, playing sports and the greater meaning of it for your whole entire life.
Yeah, I'll agree on that. I mean, we're from the same, not only the same part of the country in D.C. area, probably the same neighborhood. For me, you know, I was born in Cameroon in West Africa and came to the States and couldn't speak English. And so when you talk about growing up, learning, just having confidence in yourself, mom working, trying to finish school. And so I never saw my mom till nighttime. So whether it was doing these stay off the streets programs or things like that growing up in D.C. or just teaching you confidence and going through that journey. So you learn confidence. What boy doesn't need confidence between ages 11 to 13? When if you don't have that confidence, you're looking for it in other ways. And so, you know, boys and girls for that matter. And so then you go to college and you have that opportunity to go to college, and people don't realize it. You said you played D3. That's still more than 80 or 90% of students. They get a chance to play any sort of college sports. And then we were fortunate, obviously, to play in the league. And then you talk about structure, competing at a high level. I still have a mental itinerary every day, almost like we have a game that day. So wake up 8 o'clock. Hit the Marriott, Stairmaster at 8:30, get breakfast. You know, that itinerary with sports, like, never leaves you. And so I'm appreciative of my experience. And to see these young men this weekend, obviously it's the draft, come across the stage and see the families and being happy for them. I'm really happy to see this journey that they've gone through, but it's not over. So if you're fortunate enough to get a cup of coffee, your practice squad, or play as long as, you know, Josh and I did, I would just say anybody, just take it as a blessing and see how that end of the journey really continues for when most people don't get a chance to go that far.
I think you all articulated how important it is to receive the education through the recreation, no matter who you are and what and where you come from. But there's a truth about the underserved community that requires two different currencies. As I call it, currency is an object of energy we put into the flow to get what we want. So obviously money is a currency, and faith to me is also a currency. I think faith itself is an aggregate of all the things that we're talking about up here. It requires some sort of hope to be better, to have milestone people like Roman and Josh that the kids can look up and say, man, if he did it, I can be better than Roman, right? Or I certainly could be better than David, right? And, you know, those milestones are important, because if you can't see it, I remember I was speaking to a fifth grade class, and I asked them to draw a picture of what they wanted to be. And I could see the little boy in the back of the, just looking, he was confused. And then I could see him get the idea, and he wrote down a picture, and I wanted to see it. And it was a pizza delivery boy. And so I asked the teacher after, I said, that's what he dreams of being? And she said, well, that's the only positive role model in his life, male role model in his life, delivers pizza. We need people like Josh and Roman and David and Shakira and Juan and even me to let them surpass what we're doing. But it takes money, right? I'm a pragmatist when it comes down. I'm one of the most spiritual people I know. So I'd like to finish up by you guys telling me how people can help economically or in some other way, because I think too many people want to help, but they're either apathetic or they don't know how. And everybody's involved in a whole bunch of different things. So I thought if we could have a little ask to say, look, this is how you truly can help, either with your company, your dollars, whatever it is. Juan, I'll start with you, and we'll circle back around this way and end with Josh.
So in Cleveland, I feel like it's a whole lot of organizations asking for the same pot of money. So like our business model is just, we want your time and to be present, because like you said, they only see the pizza guy or they see the guy on the block selling the things. A lot of times kids get involved in sports, and then when the cheering stops, they don't know what to do because they've been playing their whole life and they're used to like high fives. So then they're like, well, the streets is always there. So if we can get just more positive people to be available to talk about what it means to be a sports agent, to talk about what it means to be a CFO, because my whole goal is for students to be productive members of society. And always, I'm going to pick on Josh again. Like, yeah, he's a Pro Bowler and all that, but I always tell him what I'm most proud about is him, this life after football, being a productive member of society, a father, husband, because the neighborhoods that we don't come from, we don't see that. So we want to put that on the pedestal, because the cheering is going to stop, but you can always make your community better. So to answer your question, just be present and be available, because the kids will never forget that.
Man, where do you start, right? There's so many barriers where so many people can really come together and help. So I would say number one is collaboration. Collaboration is huge. If we could just get together and just talk about it together. Sometimes people have different ideas in terms of what they want to do, but you have people who are dedicated to this space who can have a conversation. You have the resources, I have the expertise, meaning the organizations and the nonprofits or the schools, you know, in the community. Like, let's get together and talk about what we could do to really make it work. I mean, transportation is a huge barrier. To get to if you're really going to do a league, right? If you're really going to do a tournament, that means the kids have the opportunity to go to different areas and compete. Well, how do you get all of the youth to that next spot? What about the location in Cleveland? You know, weather is great in the summer, but in the winter, like, where do they go to play? Like, is there a field house in the winter that, you know, companies or facilities can be open so they could come in and do the tournaments and you know, come and play and exercise and run in the wintertime when the snow is outside? The cost, I mean, the uniforms, right? So, you know, when you think about a team, everybody's not all in a different uniform. They look uniform and they're all together and, you know, they have the same tennis shoes or the same jersey, like that's important. So I guess I would say how the community could help is to really come together and talk about the logistics of what it takes to really make something happen, to really have an impact for all the youth in Northeast Ohio. And if we could do that, Man, if we could figure that out, like, let's have the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, obviously, it's a culmination of what we've all been talking about. Money is one resource, but we have so many resources at our disposal. Obviously, our time, you know, seeing positive role models in the community is so paramount. Growing up, you know, in New York, and as I sit and I think, you know, listen to all of your stories, sports really saved my life. Not because I was going to go and do something because my mom would have really, you know, she wasn't going to have that. And I had that structure and discipline at home and I was lucky. But when I say sports saved my life, I remember walking home from basketball practice one time and, you know, the gangbangers in my neighborhood, they rolled up on me and one dude had a gun to my head. One dude, leave him alone, man. He plays basketball, right? That kid is out there doing something and that saved my life. And I'm thinking about this and I never really... It hadn't really dawned on me until I sat here. It was just another day, you know what I mean? Just trying to get home, not knowing what's going to happen. And it's kind of a memory that I suppress. But for, you know, those coaches that would come pick me up, take me, you know, all over the state, all over the country. We had donors that gave us uniforms. You know, we had, you know, local business owners. I just reconnected with my AAU coach from the 10th grade. He's a dentist. And he saw I made partner in my law firm. And he was like, Dave, you're such an inspiration. You should come help me out with the kids. I said, anything you need. And I took time recently with him just to thank you. I said, look, I don't know what was it in your heart at the time. You didn't have any children. You didn't have to do it. But you spending your time and your resources to be that positive role model, you know, to provide for us, you know, opportunity to get out of our town for a little bit, to see what a nice neighborhood looks like, to give me inspiration and say, you know what? I want that one day and I'm going to work hard to get it. And I'm trying not to get choked up, but there's so much you can do to help. And it's time, it's money, it's resources, it's old sneakers, old clothes, old sports equipment. There's a lot of sports that take a lot of equipment and kids can't afford to play it. Why do Black people not play golf? It's an expensive sport. Why do we not play hockey? It's an expensive sport. So all you kids that are outgrowing your stuff, kids can do stuff too. Donate those things. Don't let it pile up in the attic because kids can use that stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot hard to follow a lot of that. And you said some of the things I was going to say. I think at the core, sports and recreational sports lives in the at the community level. And so, and I think the other thing I would say, the most important resource that we have is our time. And obviously the last year and change has kicked everybody's butts in terms of financially with the pandemic and all those things. But I know nationally the NFL did a partnership with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America to promote flag. I hope that got to Northeast Ohio and didn't just live in some press release. And I hope the kids were able to benefit from that. But I think if you're an individual, volunteer your time, your resources, whatever that is, and everyone has to define that individually. If you're a corporation, partner with the Boys and Girls Club, partner with these local organizations that really touch the community. I remember as a player, I had a certain position about, like I grew up in a Shaw community, he knows where that is, 12th Street, Rhode Island Avenue, that area, you know, DC, any of my Washingtonians out there. But I could, $10,000 when I got drafted could do more in the Shaw community than it could for a larger national organization. So we have to continue to support the local community-based organizations. We saw what that's done with the election, with voting and getting into the community. We've seen what that's done with messaging, with making things organic and raw and genuine. We just can't forget that at the daily basis. Like if you go to a seminar, for example, like how is your life going to be different Monday morning when you come back from all that information you receive? How is your community going to be different? So any partnership or anything that we do, I pound companies all the time about equipment, refurbished equipment. There's so much tough stuff in warehouses from some of these apparel companies, 2017, 2018 stuff that ends up at Target, ends up at some of these stores. Donate some of these things. Good sports organization that we deal with. Just getting people old equipment, compression shorts. You talk about having some brand new compression shorts. You playing football? Yeah, you exactly. The confidence, new gloves. I mean, things like that. That I know that I didn't have compression shorts in those days. But again, I think everyone needs to just look themselves in the mirror and say, how can I help if it's not just writing a check? How can my company help? How can I help it as an individual? My time, my church, whatever that is. And so, again, as long as we're doing something, is better than sitting on the sidelines and not getting involved.
Yes, you guys all really hit it on the head. And for me, it's just it works for me at three levels. I believe that legislatively, there should be something done. Recreational sports, the education for our youth should be something done at the legislative level. Councilmen, mayors, governors on up the chain. It's that important. It's really that important. Secondly, you guys hit it on the head again, is collaboration, where, you know, Roman also talked about, you know, the NFL is doing a lot to, you know, help out the communities, bigger companies and reaching out to community companies. So having the community take care of itself. And the last one is, like Shakira said, it's the people, the community, the people at the ground level, parents starting a league, coaches, guys getting together like, man, I used to play ball. Let's all put our money together, start this league. The parents have a bake sale. And that's kind of usually how it's done. But it should be legislatively, because it's that important. You know, a lot of parents are out there, you know, wasting their income, their spare income, to put the kids in sports, to get T-shirts, to have the cheerleaders out there and to keep them focused. So at those three levels, legislatively, you know, companies wanting to give back to the community. And it seems like, you know, a lot of the parents and, you know, they're trying to, you know, reach out. And Roman, you can attest to this. You know, you're trying to advocate on the community's behalf to go hassle some companies like, hey, give back to this community. They need your support. And this is why. Well, I think everyone knows why. I think the community is continually to take care of itself, able to take care of itself internally. But right now, and where we at now, I think legislatively, at the, you know, mayoral level, governor and on up, needs to kind of look at this recreational and educational underserved communities and see how important it is and see how much funding they need, and watch that generation, you know, be like the last. Because this last generation, you know, myself included, you know, with the outdoor sports and having things taken care of for them. Again, I would have never experienced some of the things, you know, we would have never experienced some of the things to help us make have a chance in the NFL at all. We have to be inspired first. And real quick, there was a point where I played for the Browns and we weren't winning. And it was
which point was that?
I was waiting for that.
Stop it. Stop.
Sorry. Hey, now. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
No, I knew.
We can't afford this year.
Right. But we weren't winning. And it was getting in that rut to where it's like, man, like, why is this worth it? Why am I doing this? It was a rainy game. We just lost. Me and my wife driving back from the game. And I'm like, and it was, you know, a home game. And I felt like I had to rededicate myself to the sport. It was like, how dare I feel like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm not worth playing, or I'm getting tired of playing. I stopped over at St. Ignatius. They had a little league game, a Pop Warner football game. And I went out there and I watched those kids play and the joy in their eyes. And they're out there, oh, Moss, Randy Moss, and juking people. And the crowd is cheering. And I'm seeing for myself where it started for me. And I'm like, oh, man. And that joy of a kid hopped back into me. And I was able to live out my rest of my NFL career in joy, understanding that making it to that level. I played football every day for recess. I played football for fun. So I would go talk to kids and I say, how would you like to get paid millions of dollars to go to recess? And their eyes lit up. Like, man, you mean I get to get paid to double dutch? Jump? I'm like, no, sweetie, I don't know if they pay that much. But the idea that you can get paid this amount of money to go to recess, because that's what it is. That's what it was for us. It was recess, recreation. Doing something so well, so much, that was so fun. And a lot of times, a lot of our jobs, that's what we call purpose. It's not a job anymore because it's so fun, but it starts somewhere at the recreational level. It starts at the Pop Warner, at the ground, the community, and it builds its way up. And for us to have to support that, I think, again, those three things, legislatively, with corporations and companies working hard in the community, and then the community itself continually taking care of itself.
I love it. Last question. I think we have about 2 minutes each. You know, people ask me all the time, what's the difference between a mentor and a coach? Right? And I used to say $500. But a mentor is someone that's going to teach you through their experience. Josh telling you what his, Roman, Juan, through their experience. A coach is someone that may not know as much as you or be as good as you, but can bring the best out of you. And a teacher obviously can explain other people's thoughts adequately to you. And I think to finish up, if you could take a couple minutes each to tell me about how important one teacher, mentor, or coach was to you and what impact it had over your entire life. For me, it was my defensive coordinator. Hated him 4 straight years. He's one of my favorite people because now that I'm old enough to understand what he brought out of me has helped me make millions of dollars and help millions of people when I literally hated him 4 straight years of playing college football because he was trying to get the best out of me. I'll start, Josh, this way, and we'll circle back it in with you, Roman, if you don't mind.
So a mentor and a coach sometimes can be one and the same, especially depending on what level you're at. And they can come and go in seasons of your life that affect great change. I just want to mention one guy, my JV basketball coach, was a mentor to us. He was he's an accountant, had a nice house in Maryland, in Silver Spring, Maryland, and he invited us all over. We didn't know how much money he made, anything, until we saw his house. And we would drive out there. He drove us out the city. It's a bunch of us. And the houses start to get better. And we're like, wow, looking around. And when he pulled up to his house, I was like, wow, what does he do? Like, I thought he was a JV basketball coach / mailman. I don't know. You know, we couldn't imagine what he actually did. But we walked through his house and we just like, wow. And to see that inspired us. So as a youth, I asked him in 11th, like 10th grade, I asked him, like, what do you do? How did you get this? And he said, it's simple. I went to school for business administration. I put my head down. I didn't get the best grades in high school, put my head down, and I just worked hard, which you do every day. And I was like, what? That's simple? He was like, yeah. And I got out, I got hired. Now I got my house. He was like, it's not really rocket science. You know, I do what you did on the field, and I did it at work, and I love to do it. And I was just like, wow, you can just do that, and you can get this house right here with the full-car garage and living in D.C. And I see your car, nice car. And that put a planted a seed in me. When I went to Kent, I initially majored in business administration, business management, because I wanted that house. That right there plants a seed. And when I go talk to the kids, they always like to say, how much you make? What do you drive? How much money? You know, where do you live? You know, they asking financial questions because we have an opportunity to plant a seed in them. And so the mentor and the coach sometimes go hand in hand. And it's an opportunity for you to inspire a kid. It doesn't have to last a long time. It's just planting a seed, and that could let that seed grow to so much. If we do that, you can actually be both.
Yeah, Dennis Whaley said, planting seeds under trees we may never sit under. I'm sure your accountant, JV basketball coach, probably never even heard that story.
No.
So keep on planting seeds. You never know where they're going to grow.
So for me, the mentor and the coach was the same person. It was fifth grade, like, rec league guy, right? So I grew up on Huff here in Cleveland. It's the Salvation Army on East 59th, right? It used to close at 9 o'clock, but this guy, Quinn Davis, used to leave the gym open for me later, because in the hood, you know what happens when it gets dark. But he used to let me just go in the gym, and I used to have my own key. So he was like, if you're in the gym, I know you're not out in the streets. So then 20 years later, I was hired to run that same center, and then I started doing it for the kids after me. But I wouldn't have did that if he didn't show me that this is what you do, just little small things like that. So he planted those seeds. So any kid that I ever touch is almost a residual effect from Q. So that was my mentor who did things like that. Just so that's why I keep saying just a little time and just shift it a little bit.
Love it.
You know, I don't know if I could identify just one. In high school, I played sports all year round. And in college, I continued to run track. And I think every single one of my coaches inspired me just across the board. You know, I had never ran track before. I remember in high school, and I was not good. Okay, freshman year, like, I was not good. But I continued to do it. So, you know, the coach pushes you to go the extra mile, to run that heel, to do a little extra. And by the end, you end up achieving some of the things that you would never thought have been possible. And I mean, just for me, I mean, by senior year, like we had made it to the state and I was on the 4x2 relay and we placed. And if I had given up at that moment in my first year, I mean, I would have never had that experience to talk about. So I appreciate just mentors and coaches for allowing you to or for sharing just their thoughts, allowing you to not go through some things you didn't have to go through because they've already experienced it, and just to push you to go to the next level. And, you know, and that's really what we want our youth to do. We want to give them an opportunity to experience some things, to be exposed some things, and just go to the next level. And if we can open up the platform for them to do it, man, where can we end up just as a community?
Yeah, I actually want to highlight something a little bit different with my minute or two, if that's okay. Obviously, we've all had great coaches, great mentors, and we're all thankful for the time that they spent, you know, volunteered, oftentimes not paid, doing things out of the goodness of their heart to inspire us. And like many of you, it was several people that, you know, went above and beyond. But then there were also several coaches I had that weren't positive influences in my life. And especially when we're dealing with underserved communities where kids are uber vulnerable. And for some of these kids, this is the only outlet, right? The only potential for them to reach college. Or at least that's what they feel. And there's so many coaches that do destructive things without knowing the impact on kids, especially when, you know, maybe at the moment the kid's only confidence comes from basketball or football or baseball, and that coach perpetually puts him down. Now he doesn't want to do it. He checks out. He ends up on the street. So for me, you know, I want to thank all of the coaches that we had that are positive. I'm going to challenge those that are doing that role to do better. And for everybody else that, you know, is on the sideline that can be that positive influence, because you are dealing with kids, it's a sensitive population, to go out there and volunteer, even if you just help coach a team, you know, a day or two a week. Right. So they can see different voices. And I'm talking about at the youth level, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, when you've got, you know, coaches talking to kids certain ways. You know, I was tough. I had thick skin. You know, I got talked to differently at home so I could deal with it. But certain kids, you see them get broken down and that's it. Mommy, I don't want to play football anymore. I don't want to play basketball anymore. So, you know, please, please, please volunteer. Coaches, kids need to see people that look like them. High school coaches, you don't realize that you being lazy and not going the extra step may prevent that kid from going to college. If you don't want to do the job, don't take it.
I also think great. Absolutely. I think also parents, right? I think to add in there, I'd see a lot of kids, they're overhearing a parent say one little comment and they want to quit. Yep. And or their own parents. So I think it's, you know, important to send that message as well. People, you know, kids may not listen to you, but they watch you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be quick. And everyone said a lot of great, great feedback. I think coaches have a job to do, but a mentor chooses to make an impact in somebody's life. I mean, there's 1,000 sports management majors coming out of college every year that want to work in sports. So I mentor quite a few of the people in our building and some of the, you know, some people's kids who are, you saw them as kids grow up. Now they're coming out of college and need guidance. But just from a sports standpoint, my coach, Coach Jackson, who's actually he's retiring this year. He's like my line coach, my shot put coach, and I'm still scared of him. And he's 70 years old, so because of that impact he made when I at a young, you know, at a young age. But I would just say that anybody out there that's a coach, you know, do your job, but then choose to be a mentor because that makes a bigger impact. You remember that when you're 40, 50. That vulnerable age, 15 years old, 13 years old, when some back then, you can't do that now, but you know, some of us had to get jacked up in the corner in the hallway when we were cutting up, and but that made us better men or better women. I hope no one did that to you in high school. Your track coach didn't do that to you, but again, I would say just choose to be a mentor, choose to make an impact.
Well, I certainly appreciate everyone. Just to follow up and to summarize, we all need to pay it forward. Recreation and education, the way that we serve is to be of service, to be kind to your future self. It's really simple. Whether you're a parent, a coach, a mentor, running an organization, just do the good deed and teach the kids to do the good deed, to do their best, have fun and learn something. Those three things, we can serve the underserved youth and really secure our future, which is the main benefit for the old guys in here. It's so nice to see the success elevating others to elevate yourself. I want to say a special thank you to David, Shakira, Juan, Josh, and Roman, of course, thank you guys for taking your time and for all the service that you provide to the youth. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.